Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Max Herzer with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Joe Rex Road, Des Fitzpatrick was spotted working out with Ryan Tannehill down in Florida, and they were captured together on film. There's an Instagram video of this captured by Austin Lazuski out there of Ryan Tannehill and Des Fitzpatrick running some routes, throwing some passes, and nice, pretty slow motion video of a nice, tight Ryan Tannehill spiral in the air, right over the shoulder for Des Fitzpatrick running into the end zone. So good to see that Tannehill still throwing the football and actually completed a pass there. It was nice. Nice to watch that.
Yeah.
I know some Titans fans maybe think that he's forgotten how to do that.
I don't know. Has he done that here?
Ever?
I can't recall a completion.
But Des Fitzpatrick out there putting in some work with quarterback one. Obviously, Des Fitzpatrick selected in the fourth round last year. He did not make the team out of training camp, was placed on the practice squad, and then later was called up. And we know what happened in the Houston game. Maybe ran some wrong routes in the Houston game. Was not much of a factor last year in his rookie season. And honestly, just from my perspective, I'll speak for myself, I've kind of just forgot about him and maybe discarded him a little too quickly at this point, because you know, I'm looking at this receiver room right now, and to me it's A.J. Brown, it's Robert Woods, it's Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. And then much past that, I really don't know and don't really care much right now, to be honest with you. Am I discarding Des Fitzpatrick too quickly? Should Titans fans expect much more from him in year two, in your mind? What do you think of the Des Fitzpatrick situation as they head into this season?
Before I answer that question, you know, sometimes on Twitter, you know, like our feed is up.
Yeah.
And so, you know how it's a few seconds behind? You know, like, yeah, like the feed on Twitter is a few seconds behind as we talk.
Sure.
Like the facial expressions I make on here, how do people watch this stuff? I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Like, it's just awful.
Sex appeal, man.
My face is just awful.
No.
All right. Anyway.
You look great.
Yeah. So, I think Des Fitzpatrick and Racy McMath, I think both those guys are going to have opportunity to be on this team. Now, I think, ideally, that's receiver five and receiver six. Well, look, I don't see a scenario. And if there is a scenario, good for him and good for the Titans. But I don't see a scenario where Des Fitzpatrick moves ahead of Nick Westbrook-Ikhina on the pecking order. I'd be very surprised by that. If that's the case, then how do you get too excited about him? You can't. I mean, I think that Des Fitzpatrick improved enough last year to get on the field, and he caught a TD pass. He made a few plays, which is definitely a leap from at the end of camp. It was like, what have they done? Is this guy ever going to play a snap in the NFL? So, obviously, he responded well to what happened when he got cut. I would look at him as a hopeful wide receiver five. And the reason I'm saying five is because I think wide receiver three needs to be picked in the draft. High in the draft. I believe that. I know some people would rather see them go like pure offensive line or, you know, tight end. Maybe defense. I think receiver has to be prominent in this draft to get the third guy, a really good player on a rookie deal who can help this year and make it so that Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is your four. And then after that, sure, I don't know. We'll see. Racy McMath could be a prospect too. We know what A.J. Brown said about him.
Yeah, yes, we do. Maybe, I mean, he kind of accurate last year. Kind of reminded me of Julio Jones.
That's true. He's like 2021 Julio Jones.
Right? Well, I bring
actually,
this.
The Titans would take that.
Yeah, they probably would. I bring this up because, I mean, obviously the Titans saw something in this guy. They drafted him in the fourth round. I think he's 109th overall. And we know how it played out last year. He wasn't ready in training camp, and he got in towards the end of the season. Now, John Robinson did say that he liked some of the strides that Des Fitzpatrick took throughout the season, that he made some progress on the practice squad. But they saw something in this guy to draft him in the fourth round. Like, I recognize it's not like they drafted him in the first round or in the second round or anything like that. It's not necessarily a high draft pick. But, I mean, you'd like to get something out of your fourth-round draft pick, 109th overall. I'm interested to see, you know, what he can bring to the table. I mean, There's a lot that you like about him. He's 6 foot two. He's like 215 pounds. I think he ran a 4.47 at the combine. I mean, that's not a burner or anything, but physically, there's a lot that I think that he brings to the table. It's just a matter of whether or not he can put it together. Good to see him working out with Ryan Tannehill, though. Guess that's one way to build that connection.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is. It's kind of like Tannehill and Ferkser built chemistry a few years ago, because I expect Tannehill to be the QB2 this year. So they're working together on the scout team probably. Yeah. So, no, but in all seriousness, it is good to get in that work. And who knows? Like, players certainly can make leaps in this league. I mean, it really does happen, I think, more than people realize. So I agree. He produced a ton in college. Obviously, the reason part of that production is that, he wasn't quite good enough to come out early. Talking to Des Fitzpatrick, seems like a really solid guy. Has been putting in the work. So, I mean, it's not a completely lost cause. I just, at this point, would say making the team and being a viable option, depth option, is probably the best case scenario. Anything beyond that is a pleasant surprise.
Well, I mean, at this point, if you're the Titans, I don't think you can – I think it would be a mistake if you're John Robinson to just operate under the assumption that he's going to be a guy for you this year, like that he's going to be a significant contributor. Now, if he shows up at training camp and he has a great preseason and you feel good about him maybe being in the rotation this year, then great. To me, that's a bonus at this point. But I am drafting, if I'm John Robinson, with the idea that, we need at least one more receiver, maybe two, but one more receiver in this draft, preferably high in the draft. I'm not running in here saying, well, we got A.J. Brown and Robert Woods, and we drafted Des Fitzpatrick last year, so we're probably all set there. Like, that's not the way I'm doing this if I'm John Robinson.
Just make sure when you talk about receivers, you mention NWI. But, yes, I agree with you.
It's true.
So, I think I've seen a lot of mock drafts for the Titans with people having them take two receivers. I think the second receiver probably is a commentary on Fitzpatrick and or McMath. Because you could do a lot of other things.
Yep.
If you take a receiver first or second in the third round, that should be a guy who helps this year. Certainly a first round. But even I think the depth of the position in the draft dictates that a third round receiver should help you this year.
Yeah.
You certainly hope so. If you take one in like the fifth or sixth, like to me, that's saying, these young guys they're just not quite what we're looking for. Got to get a different young guy into the pipeline and compete with them and possibly take that spot. Because, I mean, I think you could – I mean, if I were the Titans, I would rather just pick one receiver in this draft, count on those young guys to keep coming, and then you're fine. And your receiver room looks pretty good.
Yeah. If you had to identify today who you're more confident in heading into this season, Des Fitzpatrick, Racing McMath, what would your answer to that question be? To play more of a significant role.
Well, I'd say Racing McMath because he would play a significant special teams role. Now, if you're asking me offensive role.
Let's go offensive.
Okay. Well, I guess I'd go Fitzpatrick. I mean, he ultimately did more for the offense last year than McMath did. And remember, McMath, McMath was kind of one of those training camp stars. And
yeah.
It was a different situation. Fitzpatrick was really – I mean, they were down on Fitzpatrick. There is no question. And they were very down on Fitzpatrick during camp. And, again, I think it's encouraging that he responded the way he did. I just don't know where the ceiling is. I don't know that it's that high.
Yeah. So, that's going to be interesting to see what they do with that, because if they're down on him still and he shows up, that's the thing. Like, you got to make this decision now in the draft. So – if you draft two wide receivers, what does that mean for his future at this point? That's going to be interesting to find out. I would imagine if they're drafting two wide receivers, let's say they go first round with the first one. You're not drafting the second wide receiver until what? Fifth round? Sixth round?
I wouldn't think so. But you just
a lot of energy at wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, you just never know. They could – and,
maybe they feel even stronger about Nick Westbrook-Ikhina this year than they did last year when you wrote that piece.
Maybe it's time to write the Nick Westbrook-Aquino WR1 piece.
Maybe it is.
Even though there was never a piece that said wide receiver 2. No, a lot of people claim they read that. I have a link to provide if anyone needs it.
This week's Nashville's Best Deal is 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I also saw another quarterback get added to the list of possibilities for the Titans. We'll get into that next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio with you on this rainy Tuesday morning. Lots of rain going on out there. Be careful if you're traveling around here today. So I was looking around last night. It is mock draft season still. Still in the thick of mock draft season. But this wasn't really a mock draft on NFL.com. Chad Reuter, who writes for NFL.com, coming out with what he deems the ideal top two selections for each team in the NFL. So he's taking the picks that each team has and just kind of calculating what the ideal top two selections would be. And with the first round pick at number 26 overall in this piece, Chad Reuter believes that Sam Howell, quarterback out of North Carolina, would be the ideal pick for the Titans. Says Howell's ability to make plays from and outside the pocket might push the Titans, who have Ryan Tannehill entrenched as their starter, to follow the example set by teams that have drafted a first-round quarterback despite the presence of a veteran. See the Chiefs with Mahomes, Packers with Jordan Love and Rodgers, Niners with Trey Lance and Garoppolo. So Sam Howell now added to the list of potential quarterbacks the Titans could select in the first round.
I keep forgetting about Sam Howell.
Most people have.
That's a weird – I mean, he was supposed to be maybe number one pick. I watched him a few times last year. Man, was I not impressed.
He's all right.
I mean, he's got talent, but, I mean, the decision-making when I was watching him was, troublesome. He did not seem like an especially smart quarterback out there. It's so weird with the quarterbacks. Because now that he mentions it, I have seen some people who think, yeah, he's a first-round talent. And I swear some people think he's a fifth-round talent. I don't know.
I've seen very few mock drafts lately where he's going in the first round.
Well, the most common thing with mock drafts, I think, is now having, Pickett and maybe Willis? Pickett and Willis, and that's about it,
right? That's about it. Yep.
That would be a bit of a surprise. That'd be a bit of a surprise. I still feel like, again, maybe the Titans do. Any of these guys, they could absolutely be in love with the one guy just for whatever reason and have gone through everything and are like, yeah, this is it. This he fits perfectly. He's going to be perfect in the building, all that stuff. I still think Desmond Ridder is the most likely quarterback to fit that bill. Although Malik Willis, I think, could. It's just, I don't know. I have my serious doubts that Malik Willis is going to be sitting there. I think he's going to go a lot earlier.
I still think he's going ahead of Pickett. That could be wrong. I think he's going ahead of Pickett, though. Maybe the baby hands at the end of the day is just too much for these teams to overcome, and Willis will be the first quarterback taken off the board. I don't know. It does feel like Pickett's getting some momentum right now, though. Those hands just continually growing, and teams are feeling more comfortable about it, I guess.
He's getting teams in his grip, that Malik Willis.
Yes, he is.
Is it possible that Dan Campbell could be enticed?
Well, could be.
Did you see Dan Campbell's quotes, by the way, real fast?
No.
From the other day?
I would have loved to have seen him.
He was talking about some player in Miami who was like hungover every day, but they loved ball, though. He got after it. I didn't care. I'll find it.
I cannot wait for Hard Knocks. I've never been more excited about a Hard Knocks in my entire life than Dan Campbell and the Lions coming up this fall.
It's unbelievable to say like the Lions are going to revive something, but like I have been down on Hard Knocks lately, and I actually have some hope. He's not going to be Rex Ryan, which is probably the best Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
But he's got a chance to inject some life into that thing.
Well, they've censored too much of it. So like the teams have say on this stuff, and there's too much that's just not in there.
Well, they don't. Yeah, they're not nearly as inside the building as they used to be.
Well, I feel like with the Lions, that could change. Hopefully. Dan Campbell's opening those doors. Just come on in.
Yeah.
You film whatever you want to film. You
inject that camera in his veins along with the Starbucks.
Can't wait for that. Now, Sam Howell, like I heard it was McShay and Mel Kiper talking about this the other day with Fitz on the radio. He kind of seems like a guy that if you could find him maybe in the second round, that he could be a guy that sits down for a while, then eventually could be a pretty good starter. Like McShay was talking about how the film, like he might have the best arm in the draft, best deep ball thrower in the draft, like all these different things. And obviously physically, he probably ran the ball a little bit too much last year in North Carolina. Like they ran, it seems like when they got in trouble, it was just a quarterback draw. They're like, okay, well, it's 3rd and 5. Let's just run a quarterback draw every time. So that's obviously not going to work in the NFL if you keep doing that over and over again. But, I mean, physically, he seems to have some tools, to your point. In between the years, it's got to get a little bit better with the decision-making.
Yeah, yeah, the athleticism is good, and I think that's – I mean, I think that's increasingly an important thing. You know, I mean, Pickett is one of those guys, and that's the big knock on him is, like, when the pocket collapses on him, usually he doesn't make a play out of that. A lot of these other guys are. I mean, I think it's most of these QBs who are coming to this draft at least have some level of athleticism that I think is increasingly important, but – it still comes down to its accuracy and it's recognizing things quickly and making good decisions. It's always going to be more important than anything else. As far as the second round thing you mentioned, it's like Carson Strong. I've seen some people have the Titans take Carson Strong. Carson Strong seems to be like this popular, he's about a second or third rounder, you know.
Yep.
Good, accurate, good quarterback, but he had the like serious knee stuff and you're just not sure about him physically. If that's the way you're going to go, get another player to help your current quarterback who's – I mean, as much as we have been just bashing Ryan Tannehill, I feel way more confident in him being better than all these guys we're listing next year. Yeah. Certainly next year. So this makes me think of Computer Cowboy's tweet from yesterday, Ben Baldwin, friend of the show. We had Ben on, right?
We did.
Yeah. So Ben Baldwin had a really interesting tweet about if you have a second-round grade on a quarterback – what you were saying is there's almost no chance of him amounting to anything in the NFL. So he went through 20 years of second-round picks, 02 through 21. So let's go through the list. We'll go oldest to newest. Tarvaris Jackson, Kellen Clemens, Drew Stanton. Shout out, Drew. Covered him in college. John Beck, Kevin Kolb, Chad Henne, Brian Brohm, Pat White, Jimmy Clausen, Colin Kaepernick, Andy Jimmy Dalton. Clausen. Yeah. Brock Osweiler, Geno Smith, Jimmy G., Derek Carr. So there's, you know, Jimmy G, Derek Carr. Yeah. It's not completely lost cause. I mean, Kaepernick was good for, you know, a couple seasons. Dalton was pretty good. Who else? Oh, yeah, DeShone Kizer, Drew Locke. Oh, Christian Hackenberg. My goodness. Jalen Hurts, Kyle Trask. Jalen Hurts could end up being good. So it's not complete zero.
Just wait how good Kyle Trask is. When Brady's done in Tampa, just wait. Just soaking up all that knowledge.
Oh man, exactly. Yeah, I'm sure just being in Brady's presence alone, he'll have a glow for the rest of his life. So most of these, it's a good point by him. Like, for the most part, it's not going to go well. Now, granted, if we did first rounders.
I was about to say, do that list with first rounders. There's still be a higher hit rate, but I mean.
A higher hit rate, but a lot of, right? I mean, that's just how it goes with quarterbacks in general. Most of them are not going to work out. But to me, if you're like, oh, yeah, we can get that guy in the second round, third round, just don't go quarterback.
Well, what's amazing to me about this process is, and maybe I'm just prisoner of the moment, but it feels like the quarterbacks are more all over the map here than any other draft I can remember. Like, we've talked about Matt Corral in this same piece.
There's a good one, yeah.
In this same piece where the ideal pick for the Titans apparently is Sam Howell at 26th. He's got the ideal pick for the Seahawks at number 9 overall is Matt Corral. At quarterback. I've not seen Matt Corral anywhere near that type of stuff, but it's just amazing like how differently people view quarterbacks in this draft. The ideal pick for the Seahawks is Matt Corral at number 9. I don't know if I buy that one.
I'm thinking this is not the ideal mock draft. But I do like the format here. Your top two picks and for each team. I mean, it's a little bit different at least. But Corral's another one. Corral's another one where it's just like, some people are just gaga over him, and some people are like, middle round, whatever.
Yeah.
He Rooter here, he has the Colts taking Carson Strong, speaking of him, at number 73 overall in the second round. So
going from one Carson to another.
That's right, yes.
Jeremy Gover on Twitter says, real question, why do experts rank athleticism higher than decision-making? Decision-making is paramount. If a quarterback has a great deep ball but throws it to the wrong team every time or rushes that throw every time, what does that athleticism amount to? Losses. This is coming from Gover on Twitter.
Well, I don't know how many actually rank it higher than decision-making, but I do think sometimes if a player is so overwhelming as an athlete, then you get wowed by that, and you're like, okay, but you know, okay, you can teach some of the other stuff, right?
Just wait till Joe Milton has his pro day. It's going to be amazing.
Well, look, go back to Jamarcus Russell, who, again, he played well in the best league in college, so it's not like there was nothing to go on, but like people went nuts because he threw it 100 yards from his knees, because that's so relevant to what you do in the NFL.
Yeah.
I still swear. See, we're going to have Charles on later. I swear to you that Charles told me, man, he threw it from his knees. I'm like, who cares? He was so into it. He'll never admit it now. No, you're absolutely right. Now, I do think athleticism, it's just more and more we're seeing quarterbacks who can do it all, including break from the pocket. And I mean, look, go back to the 80s, and it's not like everybody was Dan Marino or Dan Fouts who could barely move like a half of a yard left or right, in the pocket. But it was a lot less. Like John Elway was a unicorn back then.
Yeah.
You know, because he was just running all over the place, also throwing the ball 90 yards on a line.
Well, just think.
And he was a bad decision maker early in his career, by the way, and got better.
Just think about the quarterbacks that have come in recently. You got Mahomes running around, slinging it all over the place. Justin Herbert running around, slinging it all over the place. I know Lamar is a little different, but them running around too.
Like but there's a guy who people questioned a lot of things, and he's pretty good.
Pretty good. I mean, the athleticism at that position now, I mean, Josh Allen running around, slinging the ball all over the place. I mean, the position's
Jordan
just,
Love.
It's just different. Yeah.
Just that star in the waiting. Yeah. I mean, there's,
great arm strength, great decision making. That's been on full display. Good stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, Tannehill, that's a, they don't tap into it a ton, and I don't blame him because he's not a big slider. But Tannehill's athleticism has been a big part of his success.
Yeah.
Wait. Has he had any success in this league? Has he completed a pass? I don't know.
Mike from Nashville texting in says, why don't you do a mock draft of the mock drafters who get the most right? That's not a bad idea. We should, keep track of who's the most accurate. Like, I never go back.
I'm not going to do that work, but I wish someone would, the Bracket Matrix site. Yes.
I never go back, immediately after the draft is over and look at Kuiper's, his latest mock draft before the draft. And, okay, is he anywhere close? Does this break down anywhere near? I'm sure some years it does, and some years he's just, totally off.
I feel like very few mock drafts have more than, 10 right.
Hey.
If I'm wrong on that, that's just me throwing out a number. But I think it's about there. If you got 10 right, you did pretty well.
Yeah. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Today is April 12th. Is there something that is going on, or more accurately, has not gone on yet, that should cause Predators fans more concern? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Seltzerland is turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers. Indulge in mouthwatering munchies, get tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most insta-worthy moments. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We have the Rex Rant coming up at 7:45. Gonna be a spicy one today. Looking forward to that one coming up at 7:45.
I think this Rex Rant will be, it'll be short. It'll be accompanied by audio.
Kind of speaks for itself, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like my rant will be the rant of most of society.
Probably.
But then again, maybe I'm too optimistic about society.
What we should do is have the rant and then just let Twitter decide. Because Twitter makes great decisions.
That's true. Yes. We should just put everything to Twitter.
That's right. Joe, today is April the 12th. We're getting close to the playoffs in the NHL. The trade deadline is almost a month past us at this point. It was March 21st, and that day came and went, and there was no new contract for Philip Forsberg. Today is April 12th, and there is still no new contract for Philip Forsberg. We're getting close to the playoffs, the end of the regular season, in the next couple of weeks. Has your concern level increased with the fact that Philip Forsberg still, almost a month after the deadline, has not been signed to a contract extension if you're a Preds fan?
Yeah, I would say so. I don't have a number for you. But, yeah, I would say that I'm surprised. I figured by now it would be done, and it doesn't mean it won't get done. Man, is it coming down outside.
It is.
Doesn't mean it won't get done, but I got to wonder, is there just some gap there that neither side is – I mean, obviously, they haven't come together and made a deal. So is there something that they can't overcome here to figure this out?
I don't know. I mean, my concern level's gone up. I mean, I've been pretty confident most of the year that this is going to get done. And if I had to, you know, lay my chips on the table and say one way or the other, he either re-signs or leaves, I'd still go re-signs. But I'm starting to raise my eyebrows a little bit. I mean, I did not expect them in the last few weeks leading up to the trade deadline. I didn't expect them to get it done by the deadline. It just kind of felt like that wasn't going to happen. I did think there may be a scenario where maybe a couple weeks after that it could be done. And here we are. It's April the 12th. It's not done yet at this point. Now, you know, David Poile did say at his press conference at the trade deadline that, you know, things are going to quiet down a little bit now that the deadline has moved past. And honestly, I think a lot of people have forgotten about it to this point. But I was thinking about it yesterday. Like, today is April the 12th, and the regular season's over with in a couple of months, and you've got the playoffs. And after that, like, the season's done. People move on to the off season, and they go their separate ways. And some people hang around Nashville for a while. Some people head back over to Europe. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen if you let this get to free agency. So my concern level has gone up. I still, if I had to pick one, I think he re-signs, but I am raising my eyebrows that it's not happened yet. It does make me wonder, like, is the gap so big that you just may not be able to bridge that at some point?
Yeah, it's a good question. And obviously you lose that eighth year, that advantage you have. If it goes to free agency, then everybody's on the same. So to me, you know, you've lost him. If he go right, I mean,
I think you could still get the eighth. I don't know. I have to look into that.
I don't think so.
May not be able to. I need to double check.
Once the period starts, the free agency period.
That may
starts,
be right. I think yeah. You're right. Yep.
You know, then I'm quite sure.
Well, let's be honest. Like, if he gets the free agency period,
he's probably already lost. Anyway. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you probably already lost anyway. But I'm just saying, like that's your advantage right now. And I don't know. What's the latest? I sometimes can listen to David Poile on DDC. I sometimes can't.
Yep.
Like, what's the latest thing that David Poile says? Is he just trying to not talk about this?
He's still working on it.
Yeah. No, it's concerning. And I stick with the idea that Roman Josi should be the highest paid player on this team. Is that a problem? Does Forsberg just think he should be making $10 million a year?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I agree with you. Roman Josi should be the highest paid player on the team. But also, if I'm Philip Forsberg, like, I can't just be like, well, I know you signed Roman Josi to this contract, but just because you signed him to this contract does not devalue my position. Like, if he thinks that he can get 9.5 on the open market or 10 on the open market or whatever it is, like, is he supposed to settle for less than that just because Roman Josi makes 9.059?
No,
I don't know.
But if he gets 10 on the open market, that's 70. So
sure.
If he gets 9 here, that's 72. So,
well, maybe they just don't want to go to 9. I don't know. Like, there's obviously a gap somewhere. I don't know what that gap is, but it's concerning to me at this point. Nate on the text line says, if you are in the wanting the club to make the playoffs camp, wouldn't you want for the talks to quiet so Forsberg can focus on making the playoffs?
No. I would argue that it'd be a bigger distraction. I mean, let's understand what we do. Yeah, it's going to get brought up. It's going to get brought up around the playoffs, in the playoffs, whatever. So I think it's a bigger distraction if he's unsigned than if he's just signed and the thing is over by the time the playoffs start.
And
he knows the situation.
Well, they've been talking to him about a contract all year, and he's got 38 goals. It's obviously not affecting his play in a negative way.
Right.
Like, these guys can multitask.
Yeah. Even just for the team, I would argue that having it done is better than not having it done and just saying, just put it aside and let's all.
I mean, the other part of this is if I'm a player, I want you to be working on this if you're David Poile. I don't want this to be quiet. Like, I want you to work on this as much as possible because I want him to be back next year.
Right.
If I'm Roman Josi in that room right now, I'm like, yeah, David, you take as much time as you need with Phillip. We don't need him in this team meeting. Just go over there and talk to him.
Right. Otherwise, you're basically like you're going into this postseason like, well, this is it, guys.
Yeah.
The band's not getting back together. We better win it this year.
Yeah.
No pressure. Yeah. It's not great.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, sign and trade him if he wants to go somewhere else. We can at least get a fourth rounder. Like, if Philip Forsberg is going to free agency, he's probably not agreeing to a sign and trade unless he, like, spells out, this is the team I want to be with. And the Predators agree to do that, which I guess is possible, but I'd be surprised.
I mean, it certainly you'd prefer that if you're the Preds to just bye-bye. But, yeah, I wouldn't expect that to happen. I don't know. As each week passes and it's just nothing goes on, you just kind of figure there's just something there on one side or the other where it's just like, no, we're not doing that one. Are you going to change your mind?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, there's still some time. Obviously, you've got until the free agency period opens up in the NHL to get this done. So there's still plenty of time to do it, but there's been plenty of time to do it now for a long time. I mean, that's kind of the thing that I go back to is I felt like there should have been, and I think there was, some urgency there to try to get it done before the deadline, and it didn't happen. And I feel like there should still be that same level of urgency now, and maybe there is. It's just a little less public at the moment. But the fact that we're almost a month after the deadline, like, that tells me they really weren't all that close at the deadline. And maybe they just haven't been close the whole time. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe there's just – I mean, clearly with some of the stuff Poile said, at least there was no real momentum. But I didn't ever take anything he said as – there's a huge gap, just like this needs to get more serious. The talks need to get more serious, which I feel like JP Barry's just like, man, we'll wait.
Yeah, he continues to score on a nightly basis.
Yeah, right. We'll wait. Yeah, get him to 40, and then we'll see what you think. Yeah, the price keeps rising.
Maybe that's it.
Let's keep waiting, David.
Maybe he's waiting on Forsberg to hit 40. I don't know.
Maybe, and then he'll talk about it.
Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day on the other side. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Baby, what song you make me want to roll my
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Well, Florida Georgia Line bringing us back in here today. Cruz. Good day for cruising out there, too.
Were you guys at the Titans uniform reveal? You were there.
I was there as a fan, Joe.
Was this the song that Vrabel and that Vray Rob sang together on stage?
It may have been.
This is the one?
I think it may have been.
I was so far away.
See, why would you think this song would bother? It's a great tune. It's a jam.
You know what? I'm just happy to play what Michelle has edited for me.
So this is one of her Rex Rant intro songs?
There are like
songs?
10 in here. Fully
really?
Edited, yeah.
There's some that seems like high. I feel like it's Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Yeah.
Obviously Creed. Little Blink 182, right?
Kokomo.
Oh, yeah, Kokomo. Yeah. And then now we have this. So that's five I know of. I need to know what some of these deep cuts are.
Yeah.
But that's a great song. I want to – is there, like, footage of them singing? I remember
I'm sure
standing there,
there
and I was like, oh, wow, those guys are actually going to sing this song, huh? I don't remember if they were good or not.
Well, they wouldn't be singing together now.
I honestly don't even remember them singing because from where I was probably at like the intersection of Broadway and 4th, it was just ants wearing light blue talking to each other.
The main thing that I remember about that night was like the weed smoke was so intense. I was like, dude, is this like my dorm in 1992? What is going on out here?
I got a texture that says, I thought that intro music was the Beatles. Thank you.
We hit. I yesterday, I wanted Max to play a bunch of Beatles jams. He only played one for me, but we'll get you.
Joe Rexrode, your rant of the day.
Well, my rant.
A good one.
My rant, actually, I'm going to turn it back to Max. Just Cam Newton was on some Barstool podcast, and he said stuff. And I think it's just best to just go ahead and play it.
Yeah.
I had a perfect example of what a man was in my life by my father. Mm-hmm. My parents has been together for 36, 37 years now, and it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a three-parent household, my mom, my father, and my grandmother. And I knew what a woman was, not a bad
Okay, what's the difference?
A woman.
Okay.
A bad is a person who's just, you know, girl, I'm a bad, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I look the part, but I don't act the part.
Okay.
You know, and it's a lot of women who are bad, and I say in a way not to degrade a woman, but just to go off the aesthetic of what they deem is a boss chick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a woman for me is handling your own, but knowing how to cater to a man's needs, mm-hmm. right? And I think a lot of times when you get that aesthetic of like, I'm a boss, like I'm a this, I'm a that. No, baby, like, but you can't cook.
Okay.
You don't know when to be quiet. You don't know how to allow a man to lead.
That was Cam Newton. I missed that one yesterday until you pointed it out to me this morning. Wow.
I mean, honestly, I don't even really have anything to say other than, are you kidding me? I don't. I honestly, like, I'm speechless. This is a speechless Rex rant.
Yes.
Just with Cam, Cam is just, I mean, you got to be kidding me. And it does bring me back to Jordan Rodd, Rieg, a friend of the show, athletic reporter who covered the Panthers.
Yep.
You know, a few years ago, like, she asked him about, like, Devin Funchess's routes, and he did, like, the whole, it's funny to hear a female talking about routes. Like, what?
I forgot about that. Yeah.
I don't know if this has anything to do with Cam Newton, because there's a lot of stuff in reaction to this, which is to the effect of Cam Newton is hurting himself finding a team. I mean, look, again, with the NFL, let's look at Cam, let's look at Kaepernick, let's look at Deshaun Watson. If you feel like bringing someone on is going to turn off a ton of fans, then you're going to freak out about it and not do it. Colin Kaepernick. If you feel like this player can help you win and there's people who get offended, then you'll still bring him on.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson. Cam Newton isn't good anymore, no. So I don't think it matters.
Well, don't tell Keyshawn that, but yeah.
Yeah, well, right. I'd like to hear his updated QB rankings. So I don't think this has anything to do with that. It's sad. I mean, it's sad. That's what it is. That's my rant today.
Yeah, Keith says on the text line, holy cow, my ears hurt. I think he's talking about Cam Newton there. Could be talking about Florida Georgia Line, but I think he's talking about Cam Newton.
Well, specify for us, Keith.
Yes.
Just
apparently now that I've numbing. This has been made, I've been made aware of this. Like, I must have missed this yesterday on social media. I wasn't on it much yesterday, but yeah, a lot of people talking about Cam Newton right now in those comments. That is it's quite something.
That's a doozy.
That's a doozy.
Yeah, it started out well, like parents, married, 30, yeah. Okay, nice, and then I don't even know. Good bleeping there, Max.
Yeah, well done.
You went with the silent bleep rather than
a
the
classic.
Burp. Yeah, you prefer, is that like our style? Do we have a preferred style?
That's my style.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
It's good bleeping.
Nate on the text line. Unpopular opinion. I don't know how I feel about a daily Rex rant. I look forward to it every Monday morning, but now I don't know. Too much of a good thing can be bad.
We've had some people react that way. We've had kind of both. I'm listening to the people. Whatever they want.
That's what we do here. A lot of people said they liked the daily works.
We're doing this. We are going to do this.
We're listening to the people.
Someone just said they don't want this.
Well, most people have said they love it.
So we're ignoring the people.
Well, I'm just trying to. I'm trying to be as fair as I can be.
And by the way, this Cam, wait, who is this? Keith said the SJW segment with Joe Rex woke. That's social justice warrior, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, you must be an SJW to not subscribe to women need to cook and be quiet.
He said this before you even had the rant.
Yeah, you knew. You knew, Keith. You never know, man. Ugh. One of these days I could throw a curveball on you.
Keith did confirm that it was Cam he was talking about with the ears hurting. Not Florida Georgia Line.
I mean, what is he? I don't know, man.
He's an interesting guy, man. He really is. Interesting guy.
Yeah, you know,
I'm interested to see now, like, I mean, this aside, to your point, it's going to come down to, like, does a team feel like he can play and help them win? But like, do you really want to put yourself through all the Cam Newton drama when he's going to be probably your backup quarterback?
Well, he's not very good anymore. He's banged up. He's not. I mean, I don't think he's relevant as an NFL quarterback anymore. But, you know, when Cam was a great player and he won the MVP, there was a lot of backlash about the way he acted and things like that. And I thought it was so misguided. He's giving footballs to kids. He's doing, you know, he's having some antics after scoring touchdowns or whatever. But
the Titans hated it when he came here a few years ago. Hated it. Tried to fight him after the, like, he was
like in 2015.
Doing the first down dances and all that. They hated it.
Yeah. And I thought, I didn't like some of that reaction. I understand. Look, if you don't like somebody doing that stuff,
stop it.
It's like the Vols right now in baseball. Well, then, okay. Then they just hit another home run on you. So, you know, you can do something about it. You can stop the team from running up the score on you. Whatever. I thought a lot of that stuff was stupid. But, man, this is he wants it to be 1953. I don't know, man.
I don't know either. Sean on the text line says, I want all of it. Rex Road for life. This is coming from Sean on the text line. Sean, big fan of Joe Rex Road, as we've discovered on the text line.
Okay, wait. Is this Sean?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. Right. So you want sockless Rex Rants.
Max, Max is looking at around
Max.
Like, what?
Max has no idea what's going on. And honestly, Yeah, that's a good idea by Rob from Clarksville. Time for a Twitter poll on the Rex Rant. Send it to the internet. See, here's what I like about
the psychos decide.
Let the psychos decide. One thing I do like about a daily Rex Rant is that we get you ranting and we get Michelle. And in fact, Max.
Max, if you want to do it.
You're with us again tomorrow. If you'd like
you're a fired up about something.
If you want to do a Max rant tomorrow, then we've got a spot for you.
Oh, yeah.
I do like the flexibility to let others get in it because I could never do five a week. But if we have the segment open and then whoever on the show would like to rant, I feel like there's five rants a week available to all of us, right?
I agree. John the Mailman says, Max protecting the listener's ears with a silent bleep. Well done, Max.
It was a very.
Lots of love for Max on the text line. Good.
This is like when I edit the POP, and if you guys have listened to the POP in between segments, there's basically a sonic boom to separate segments because there's no commercials, and I've gradually, quietly made it much less loud.
Yeah. By the way, POP, Pred's official podcast.
Yeah, someone tweeted in and told Brooks that their car shakes every time the segment changes.
Oh, good stuff. This has been the Rex Rant, the daily Rex Rant. Very popular on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll hear from Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian. We'll get his thoughts on the Grizzlies as they head into the playoffs. Lots of high expectations for Memphis. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.